I was sitting in the audience at the Black Feminism 2000 conference in March 2000 when UCLA professor Robin D.G. Kelly, a Black man, told a story about a woman named Sheree Williams. Sheree was 37, Black, and living in the Bronx when she was beaten by her boyfriend. When she called the police for help, she was then beaten within an inch of her life by NYPD officers. Though 1999 had been a year of protesting police brutality after NYPD officers shot Amadou Diallo 41 times in the doorway of his own home, Kelly noted the lack of national attention to Sheree's case, as well as to police killings of Taisha Miller in Riverside, California, and LaTanya Haggerty in Chicago that same year. Citing this invisibility as evidence of an absence of gender analysis in the anti-police brutality movement, Kelly emphasized that Black feminism demands action around Black women's experiences of police violence. On the same panel, Black feminist foremother Barbara Smith, who had been actively organizing around Diallo's murder, echoed Kelly's points and expanded on his call to action to include police violence against Black LGBTQ people. I immediately set out to learn everything I could about Sheree's experience. On September 28, 1999, she called 911 during a domestic violence incident. When the police arrived, the two white police officers refused even to get out of their patrol car to take her complaint. When Sheree asked for their names and badge numbers, they responded by putting her in handcuffs, shoving her into their patrol car, and driving her to a deserted parking lot. Terrified, she managed to get one hand out of the cuffs while in the car, only to be pepper sprayed in the face by the officers. When they arrived at the lot, the officers pulled her out of the car by her hair, repeatedly shook her, and struck her head against the car. They beat her so badly they broke her nose, burst her spleen, and fractured her jaw, which later had to be wired shut. Sheree testified shortly after the incident before a New York City Council hearing on police responses to domestic violence. "They beat me until I was bloody. They left me there dazed and with a warning. They told me if they saw me on the street that they would kill me. I called the police to prevent a serious incident, and they brutalized me." For a long time, I opened every presentation with Sheree's story, consistently drawing gasps of horror to amplify the voice she raised in protest at that city council hearing and to point to her experience as a quintessential example of Black women's vulnerability to both interpersonal and state violence. A month after the Black feminism panel, Angela Y. Davis, who has consistently spoken out about her own and other women's experiences of police violence throughout her activist life, opened the historic founding conference of Insight at the University of California, Santa Cruz, with the following story. "Many years ago, when I was a student in San Diego, I was driving down the freeway with a friend when we encountered a Black woman wandering along the shoulder. Her story was extremely disturbing. Despite her uncontrollable weeping, we could surmise that she had been raped and dumped along the side of the road. After a while, she was able to wave down a police car, thinking that they would help her. However, when the white policeman picked her up, he did not comfort her, but rather seized upon the opportunity to rape her once more. I relate this story not for its sensational value, but for its metaphorical power. Given the racist and patriarchal patterns of the state, it is difficult to envision the state as the holder of solutions to the problem of violence against women of color. However, as the anti-violence movement has been institutionalized and professionalized, the state plays an increasingly dominant role in how we conceptualize and create strategies to minimize violence against women.